Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ooh, welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast gap this friend, a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought, it's like you're on a really nice date with a fun slut who then gave you the clap. And then invoiced you for the date and then completely forgot about you. That's us.
It is. It really is.
I really love that because you've accounted for all four of our personalities.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really well done.
Yes.
You are absolutely the one who gave you the clap.
I'm the invoice.
Fran invoice. Dennis completely forgot.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I was stuck in my room watching Michelle Kwan videos.
Wow. Oh my God, that's so funny. Wow. Well, thank you everyone for coming to our final installment of Thoughtuary. Today, you know,
it's not a thing. Oh my God.
These are just some extra special episodes for you to hold you over into the next season. Today, you know, we're going to be setting aside our usual programming and we're going to discuss Real Housewives of Salt Lake City for 50 minutes. I don't know. Should we start with Mary Cosby or Jen Shah?
Yeah. If we were diagnosing each other based on Salt Lake City franchise wives, I mean, I think maybe Fran would be Lisa because she has the tequila empire and is 100%. Always like trying to build the business. But then it's also like
workaholic.
Yeah, but those rules don't apply to me. So, like, I'm going to have a tequila empire even though I'm Mormon and cannot consume liquor.
Oh, my God.
I would accept that, except that Lisa, I think, gave a lot of money to Republican campaigns this last season. And so now I don't stan her as much. I would love to self-identify as a Heather.
My partner and I.
Because I feel like...
We all want to self-identify as a Heather. Tommy, who's Joe's actually the Heather?
Joe is the Heather.
Yeah.
I feel like producer Alex is the Heather, to be honest.
Which one melts down the most? I guess you are kind of a more, like a really sad version of Jen in a way.
Okay, so in case this is your first time, hello, my name is Tommy Teeves Pico. I'm an Indigenous American poet, screenwriter, TV writer, all that kind of stuff. And I am also the founder at HBIC of the Sade Fan Club. Thank you.
Ooh, love that. My name is Fran. I'm a writer, I'm an editor, and much to the pleasure of my personal trainer, I am 25 pounds heavier than when we last started recording. So she's making gains. Mama, be proud of me.
I've always been confused about, like, to me, weight is always about losing it. And so this, like, gay boy thing of, like, oh, I gotta gain 25 pounds, it always breaks my brain a little bit.
Someone tweeted something about, like, the twink to daddy pipeline or something like that. I was like, wow, that's really what's happening.
I call my butthole the twink to daddy pipeline.
Hated it.
I am Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, and I am missing a COVID-19 activist meeting to be here right now. And so I literally feel like I'm killing
people. Right. Yourself.
My presence here is a murderer.
That twink to daddy pipeline joke did kill me, so you've killed somebody tonight. I'm Dennis Norris II, and I'm a reader and a writer, former figure skater, and I'm gagging tonight because I was today years old when I learned that the iconic Kaley Cuoco is the daughter of the super iconic and legendary figure skating choreographer Sarah Kawahara, and I'm just kind of dying over that.
The iconic.
I know none
Kaley
of you know
Cuoco.
Who she is, but
ah yes, Kaley Cuoco, a behemoth of queer culture.
This is incredibly specific.
I want to put that factoid in my drink to Daddy Pipeline.
Oh my god. Terrible.
So who's got the menu this evening?
Y'all, on tonight's show, we're going to hit you with one of our most classic thought games. Classy, if you will. We're going to do a little round table with some self-care tricks and treats for you. Then we're going to get down and dirty. And for dessert, she's been here before, and now she's coming to all of you in your phones.
Love that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little peckish. So let's start the top of the show the way any good top should, with our uproarious appetizer segment, Amuse Boosh. And to amuse our booshes, Lord help us, it's Joe.
Yeah, so today's game goes out to Italian pothead producer Alex. It is not a pasta shape or spacecraft. Instead, it is weed strain or sex toy. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to give you all the name of a thing. And you tell me, is that something you put in your mouth via weed or by putting a dildo in your mouth?
I just have to say before we start this podcast that not only am I 25 pounds heavier, but I am giving Alex a run for her money as the podcast token pothead because
you,
I know
she is, really are.
Fran, she's been training for years for this.
You know what?
All You're I'm not saying, gonna beat her.
I'm not gonna beat her. All I'm saying is I'm giving her a run for her money. I'm very
Alex has to go for it a little harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are much easier to be around.
That is, let me tell you. I would be insulted, but it's so true. I would be insulted, but it's so true.
I did not see that one coming. I didn't see that one coming.
This escalated quickly.
Okay. Okay.
Right. I will accept that.
To start, donkey dick. Donkey dick. Sex toy or weed strain?
Got it. Okay.
That's a weed strain.
Stop it, Tommy. Let him have his spot.
That is a sex toy. Come on. Starting off easy.
Tommy just knows. I'm just following Tommy's lead on this. It's good. Let's say sex toy. I mean, weed strain.
Donkey dick has a powerful stench of spicy, dank skunk with an overtone of sharp pungency that fills any room instantly. The taste is very sour with skunky pungency that is accented by spicy exhale that's surprisingly smooth.
So wait, is it a sex toy?
So it's, yeah.
Here's an actual customer review. Potent. Gave me tingles along my head and arms. Delightful for smoking with friends. Will acquire again. Post haste. How high was the person when they wrote that?
If it's so stenchy, they should have called it underside of doggy dick.
And if it smells like,
are you ready for a twist?
Okay.
Big donkey dildo, massive huge cock, multicolor horse cock. My search history for donkey dick sex toy has ruined my algorithm for forever. It is shagging or getting shagged by your favorite animal is a powerful sexual fantasy, which can be fulfilled with this fine line of donkey dick sex toys. Mr. B now carries this animal's line of most popular replicas of animal penises. You're welcome.
Oh my God.
It's both.
It's both, yes.
Got it. Oh, wow. Okay. Love starting us off with a twist. I love that.
Starting like a true verse queen.
Given the world of the internet, a lot of things are both. I mean, there's just a Venn diagram, a middle ground between these two things. What about the Obama-rator?
Oh, I really hope that that's a weed strain and not a sex toy. But I have a feeling it's a sex
toy.
It's a sex toy.
I think it's a sex toy.
I also want that to be a weed strain, but I am not mad at it being a sex toy, frankly.
It is a stimulus package. Its tagline is, "This is our time, and I'm grateful to be part of that." It has speeds that go from conservative to extreme liberal, and it's splash-proof. And on the list of Obama vibrator things that you don't want to know, Sarah Silverman owns one.
Oh! I didn't need that little factoid.
Wow.
Producer Alex just left. She quit the job. Okay, next up, staying on this theme, Barack Obubba. Barack Obubba.
Okay, that I think is a weed strain.
That. I think that's a weed strain too.
I agree.
This indica dominant strain appropriately channels the president's famous message of change as it invigorates and inspires. The strain is recommended for consumers looking for powerful physical effects as well as an intense cerebral lift. Mm. And its tagline, yes, we cannabis.
Mm. Oh. Si se puede, si se puede. Okay.
Oh. I love this game. What about blue balls? Blue balls.
I'm going to say that's a weed strain.
Weed strain, yeah.
Weed strain. Mm-hmm.
It's a good name for weed strain.
Blue balls, juicy, pure silicone penis pump base, soft, squishy, blue, heavy, thick pumper.
Oh, wow, my God. That's a pumper. I've actually never used a penis pump before.
It works for me. This is a customer review. It works well for me using the Colt Big Man penis pump as it gives me a nice comfort cushion. Highly recommended to anyone who's into pumping.
Ooh, okay.
There were actually a lot of ball adjacent sex toys that are blue ball themed or named. Yes, there were many to choose from. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have any of y'all used penis pumps before?
Never.
No.
I'm curious.
There are like a few toys that I've never gotten into.
I definitely don't want to pay for one.
Penis pump manufacturers, slide into Fran's DMs.
Thank you.
Is it temporarily engorges?
Yeah. Oh. I've watched a lot of videos. There's different types of penis pumps. There's the ones that make your penis larger that then you can play with a slightly larger penis for some time before it deflates. And then there's also milker ones where it like kind of is hooked up to a robot and like jerks you off hands free.
Mm. Oh my goodness.
I mean, is it like, are your hands too tired? What's the narrative?
They're usually involved in BDSM. Like you're tied up, you're in latex you're being milked. Sometimes with a little tube going from the milker into your own mouth. I mean, I don't know. It's just something that people might have done.
Right. Or just something you have a cursory understanding about. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Interesting. Oh, interesting. Could you make it? Could you potentially make a cheese of this milk or no?
We're getting there in a moment. But twist. Well, what can you say? If you love blue balls and blueberries, you'll love this weed strain. We're not exactly sure what the balls part signifies, but the experience is not bad at all. Heavy indica effects alongside heady sativa effects. Have some blue balls and you're in for a sedative and relaxing experience.
Of course, it's both. I hate you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, you ready for the next up? Cheesy dick. Getting to what Tommy was saying. Cheesy dick.
If that was the name of a sex toy, it would be horrible.
I don't even want that to be anything. And you've never met somebody who loves cheese more than me. I don't want it on dick. I don't want it in weed.
I am famously uncut. And so it happens sometimes.
If you don't wash.
Yeah. It's not a thing that happens sometimes if you bathe, but you don't famously.
I don't bathe.
You famously don't bathe. Let me tell you, I'm not trying to king shame out because, like, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are, like, you know, into smegma, what have you. However, doesn't sound like it would make a great sex toy or weed strain. So right. I have no idea.
I have an uncut friend who had a person on Grindr ask him to not shower or pull back his foreskin when he peed for 3 days so he could get the cheesiest possible penis. Tommy, I'm really trying to make Tommy vomit right now.
No, Tommy's gag reflex is really bad. Don't do that.
Okay. Down in the dumps, upset about how your boss didn't give you credit for that critical report that you prepared over the weekend? Perhaps a little cheesy dick is all you need. It's a powerful indica dominant strain. Its aroma is spicy, musky, and loud, while the flavor is spicy and thick. The strain is noted for its heavy hitting high that comes on quickly and lingers for hours. Give this indica a shot next time you're ready to end your day and hit the couch with some cheesy dick.
Oh my God. I'm good.
I think we're all experiencing some kind of shell shock. So if you could just tell us and move on to the next one.
This is my favorite. I've been saving it the whole time.
Okay.
Optimus Prime.
Oh. I'm going to say both.
I'm
you
also
know, gonna, I'm going to agree with Fran. I'm going to say both.
I'm also going to say both. And I would like it in either one.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to answer what it is, but I'm going to read the following customer review.
Okay.
This was not what I expected, but in a good sense. I'm a senior getting back into this after 40 years of Mormon life. I went for a 5-mile walk, half of which I jogged for the first time in 10 years. I'm barely out of breath. I get back in and wash all the exterior windows of my entire house. Then I clean my garage, including doing stuff I've been procrastinating on for 3 years. So to be clear, I took 5 tokes of this, and 4 hours later, my whole goddamn honey to-do list for a fucking month was done, and I was dancing half the time.
Let me tell you, One, I need to get my hands on that. Second of all, I up until he said 5 tokes, I truly did not know if it was a lead strain or a sex toy.
Same.
Brilliantly construct a narrative.
Yeah.
Riveted. I'm pretty sure this is Heather from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Yeah. But for posterity, I do have to acknowledge that there is such a thing as an Optimus Prime dildo realistic warming rotating rechargeable wire women toy that is 8 inches long.
I'm scared
These
of that.
These sex toy names are just hard to get through.
I'm scared of that.
The tagline is increase the living standard, reduce the pressures of living and working.
Well, thank you, Joseph, for always bringing dick cheese back into the conversation.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Nothing if not consistent. Thank you.
It's a fine 12-month-aged Havarti.
No!
Oh, no.
Next segment. Bye.
For our next course, we've got some self-care recommendations. We're going to do this a little bit popcorn style and go through all of us. This has been a trying 10, 11 months. It's nearly going to be a year. Like, Joe actually started social distancing in February, I think. So it is almost a year. It will be a year for you. The last person I had in my house was March 12th. That was the last time I was inside with another person. So we've all been trying to do some things to self-care without self-destroying, right?
Mm. Yeah. And I think it's important to, like, you know, prerequisite that, like, a lot of, like, you know, things about what we think self-care is are really, like, not it. Like, self-care is, like, a communal effort. It's something that makes you the best version of yourself so that you can go out into the world. It's not, like, you know, a bullshit excuse to, like, ignore your friends or responsibilities or something. We had a great episode about self-care with Jenna Wortham. You should go listen to it on the backlog. But, yeah, I don't know. I would love to hear about, like, things that people are trying that are, like, you know, new to their routine or their, I guess, self-care practices.
I feel like my self-care in the last 12 months has been totally different than what self-care typically looks like for me. It's been very much the opposite of, like, a to-do list. Like, I'm not, you know, self-care might have been something like getting my nails done at a salon and getting a nice color on it, or getting a haircut, or sort of, you know, it felt, or even cooking dinner, which is, like, productive in the end. And I've really tried to step self-care away from anything that even attempts to be productive. And so I think the biggest self-care that I've been doing the last year is, like, literally just lying in bed or taking a nap. It's like not doing anything and not feeling guilty for not doing anything. Like, feeling my body doze in bed after my alarm goes off for an hour. And not feeling like, oh, I'm not being productive, I'm not getting enough done, you know, oh, I should be doing COVID activism thing and my lying here is literally murdering people. Putting those thoughts away and just, like, you know, like Tommy and I talk about this when we're anxious, like, just feeling the experience of my skin touching the bed. And, you know, I have a dog now, so it's like feeling my dog push up against me. Mm-hmm. And just, that's it. That is all it is. And really cultivating those moments and taking the time to make them and, like, do an afternoon nap where I just cuddle with my dog.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that, Joe. I am incapable of just letting myself be, but it sounds like a really nice sentiment. That sounds nice. It reminds me, did anybody watch the Disney Pixar movie Soul?
Not yet.
I will say there's a really great article in The New Yorker that nuances a lot of very bizarre race-related things that happen in that film. However, it has a really beautiful lesson about learning to appreciate the things in life and just being and what that feels like. It's very nice.
What about you, Fran?
You know, I have been learning languages. I'm edging on a 100-day streak on Duolingo, having used it every single day, which not great for like Spanish conversation, but I've been using it to just get my vocab, you know, up to par because I haven't really spoken Spanish in a very long time. So been practicing on that. It's a very embarrassing and weird, but it's a fun way to wrinkle your brain. And I've been loving that. And I also, my best friend bought me ASL classes for Christmas. Mm. And so I have ASL every Wednesday. And that has been like a light and joy of my week. Just like being in a group environment, that new person group environment, learning, moving things around with your hands, like just learning, like wrinkling your brain in that way. That has been like a part of like just me activating myself. You know what I mean? Because if I don't, I'm just gonna watch Netflix for like 6 hours every night and like, you know, go to bed at 1 a.m. And like, I think finding ways to throw off my routine and introduce new things has been really positive.
I have a few things that I've been doing to get myself right. And like Joe, one of them is like, I've tied so much of my self-conception and my self-esteem and self-worth. I've tied that all up in productivity. And so, for me, being able to, so I got first, one of the things I got was an ottoman and I got some slippers and sitting in my wing back, feet up, watching TV and not doing anything besides that. Cause I always feel guilty. Like, if I'm doing this and I also have to be cleaning or I have to be cooking or I have to be doing something, I can't just surrender to an activity that has no practical means. And just being able to sit there and like watch, like I've spent the entire day. Cause I just came off a crazy schedule. And so I've been trying to give myself some time off. I just binged the entire season except for the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race UK. And on the recommendation of both Fran and Daisy Rosario on Pop Culture Happy Hour. And I gotta say, like, is their makeup ugly on purpose? Like, is that a drag queen thing? It's to make ugly makeup? I don't know nothing about drag or Drag Race, but is there makeup supposed to be ugly?
Hi, hello, Drag Race historian here. Drag Race UK operates on a very different playing field, and I think that the queens of season one were a lot more talent forward. A lot of American queens are more Instagram queens, look queens, etc., more polished makeup. However, season two of Drag Race UK, which is coming out right now. If you need a login for that, Teebs, I will send it to you, is incredible. Superior season. The makeup is flawless. Every single queen is so talented and will be robbed. So I will say, so good.
Interesting. But my other self-care, besides like allowing myself to veg, because that's like, sometimes that's just how people operate. That's not how I operate. I don't operate on letting myself get, I don't let myself get away with not doing anything. But another really big thing has been singing for me, because singing is also a breathing exercise. And that really calms you down. Like, coherent breathing literally calms you down. Like, that's the, because if like your breath can be in service of making you more anxious, which it can, then your breath can also be in service of relaxing you. And I know my neighbors motherfucking hate me, but I pay rent on this bitch. So
what about you, Dennis?
Yes, you do. Okay. So I was going to say, I have two things too. So the first thing, and like, I have always been a fan of being cozy. Like, that's, I've always been that person. But a couple months ago, I was on Instagram, and shout out to friend of the podcast, Morgan Jerkins, because I scrolled through her story and she was wearing the fluffiest, pinkest, like, thing that I had ever seen. And it looked adorable. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I need it. I need it. And she immediately DM'd me the link, and it was a wearable blanket. I don't know if this is a new thing or not, but it was new to me.
Like, you mean a snuggie? This thing that came out on like all TV commercials, like what?
No.
20 years ago?
People who don't know about the wearable blanket mistake it for a snuggie. I have owned a snuggie. A snuggie opens in the back. You don't really put it over yourself like you would an actual item of clothing that goes around your entire body.
Do you mean a poncho?
It's almost like a poncho, but it's incredibly, incredibly soft. It's incredibly fluffy. And it's basically just if you had one of those super soft, fluffy blankets from like a home goods store and you made it into like a giant hoodie that goes all the way down your body. That's what it is. And I, no joke, I wear this for the first like 2 hours that I'm at work every day. I'm on video calls in it. I do not give a fuck. I'm comfortable as hell. And I'm like, we're in a pandemic. A binge needs to be comfortable. So it's a pink wearable blanket from Amazon. We can include the link in the show notes. I swear by it.
We will not include an Amazon link in the show notes, Dennis.
You can probably get it elsewhere, but that is where a friend who got it for me got it. And then the second thing I will just say, which is also, I feel like just as random and strange, is that I, with my anxiety being really high, I've needed, I had been craving nostalgia, and I found myself craving the sitcom Friends a couple of months ago, which was kind of strange. Like, it was on when I was on TV. I didn't really watch it. I didn't care about it. So I was like, why do I want to watch this show? Anyway, I got YouTube TV, and you can record things. I record RuPaul's Drag Race, and I also record episodes of Friends because it brings me back to the nostalgia and the safety and the security that I felt as a kid and in my home. It's weird, but true.
No,
Dennis, I have a question. I have a super important question.
Okay.
Were they on a break or was it cheating?
Oh, it was cheating. All the
way.
They were on a break.
Second of all, I love that Dennis gets on this podcast and is like, have y'all ever heard of the TV show Friends?
Truly? It was said with a question mark. Friends?
Like, the most popular
indie
TV
television show?
Yeah. In the history of TV?
I don't know if you know about it. Naturally, I identify deeply with the character Rachel. Shocking no one.
Shocking no one. You are actually a Rachel, and I, unfortunately, am a Ross. No, I'm a Monica.
I think you're a Monica, I agree.
What was that?
I agree,
I'm a Phoebe, I think.
I will second a few things. First of all, group viewings of Drag Race have been phenomenal. Obviously, group chat viewings of Drag Race or any show, I strongly recommend. If you can get in if your whole group chat can commit to sitting down and watching something at the same time, such a fruitful experience has actually been something that, as a self-care practice, I like really look forward to. But also, Dennis, the bathrobe game. Wearable blankets, bathrobes. Mm-hmm. I got a weighted blanket for Christmas. Anything you can
wrap yourself in. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely recommend. And like a lot of people that have baths just don't understand the access to luxury that they have. And Joe, I will not tolerate your anti-bath slander on this podcast, so don't even try it. But lining yourself up with, you know, your sage, your candle, your bath salts, a little weed, a foaming bath, a bath caddy, bathrobe. You have that little, if you have like a really shallow bath, there's a little suction cup contraption that you can put on your bathtub so that it fills all the way up. It's like, You gotta get like to the next level of like bathing in order for it to be self-care, you know.
I am currently taking a bath. It's called bathing in my own juices because I'm wearing the same pair of sweatpants 4 days in a row and I haven't showered.
I thought you were gonna say bathing in your own tears because you're crying.
Both. It's both at the same time, frankly.
I also wanted to quickly plug one other thing that I really loved. A friend of mine, her name is Sarah Gottesinger. I think I'm saying her last name wrong. She's a really talented like tarot reader and moon worker. And she sent me this moon journal that I have really been loving. And it's just this kind of like thing that, you know, you fill out little prompts in accordance with like the phases of the moon. And you do like kind of like moon manifestations and moon work. And like, sounds really silly as I'm saying it out loud, but it's honestly just committed me to like journaling again, which I historically have a really hard time committing to. And finding something like, it's really hard, especially when you work for yourself, to create deadlines. And so when the moon is your deadline, It's nice. It helps keeping you accountable to like the things that make you feel good and the things that you want to dream. And so I'll just plug that in as well.
Ookie spooky.
Ookie spooky. That's right.
Yes, I is.
It's time we got to the meat of our discussion, the thought process of THOT.
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 And Dennis has the meat this week. Which is weird.
But I appreciate you saying that in a way that highlighted me being a bottom. I'm not slinging the meat. I just have the meat inside me right now.
Okay, we don't have to go that far.
I wish. Anyway, okay. Actually, but it's not really off topic because, y'all, to wrap up our little cute four-part February series, we're going back to our old faithful, the climax, if you will. Of this little arc of episodes modeled after a crush. We've brought you from fantasy. We've heightened your attraction. We've shimmied through a date or two, and now it's time to fulfill the promise of everything that came before. In other words, wrap it up. No glove, no love. Just kidding, y'all. This isn't an early aughts high school health class. But I do have a jumping off question. Dearest, darlingest, tater thoughts, tell us about a time when the sex was incredibly good or incredibly bad. What made it good or bad that time? And in general, more generally, what makes it good or bad for you? I'm curious.
Oh, no. I feel like we've definitely... I was like, when I was looking at these questions, I was like, I don't know if I've had a sexual experience that I haven't talked about on the show already. But really good, you know, I gotta tell you, really good. There was a person in like 2013 who I was kind of seeing, and it was just mind-blowingly athletic sex in a way that was fun. For me, it was playful. It was playful and it was fun. And it was like, there was a way in which there was communicate. I do believe in, like, you know, the dirty talk and the verbal and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes it's also fun when you don't have to say anything and that person is reading your body and it has that kind of literacy, that kind of physical literacy where, you know, you kind of try things out, but you pivot really quickly. And it was just kind of like we were speaking the same language. That's how I equated it to myself in the moment. And it was beautiful and it was fun. It's just the person's like personality and emotional state I couldn't stand.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to say I couldn't stand them. It just didn't work out then. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't work out. Shit's passing in the night. But Lord, did our dicks get entwined.
I'm imagining those duck dicks that have corkscrews.
You and didn't they're
like have to corkscrewing
do that. You actually didn't. You actually didn't have to do that. You didn't have to make it gross, Joe.
Fran?
I was just going to say, you know, I definitely, all of my experiences about extremely wild, raucous, cinematic sex, I've definitely spewed on this podcast before. However, last year, I did have a really wonderful 3-month stint with a dating partner wherein I had the best sex of my life. And I think it's worth noting that the things that I previously used to like quantify like really great sex kind of changed, because previously I was like, I need cinematic, I need movie sex, I need like get hulking, sweating, like all these different things, and like that is a really great category of sex for me as well. But the things that made the sex so special with that person was like this shared like love and like affection and like humor between us, and I think that was like, you know, part of what makes sex for me really enjoyable. Not all the time, but a lot of the times.
That's so funny, Fran. I, you know, stereotypically, host of Osmondson actually, and this is true. I mean, the vast majority of the best sex in my life has been with long-term partners. I love partnered sex. I love that sort of vibe, the trust, the humor. But the two times I want to talk about today, very similar. One was topping, one was bottoming, was hookup sex, where it was just like we had really good hookup sex, and it was as good as any other sex I've had. I sometimes fantasize about the time that I was bottoming. It is just, for me, Teebs, it's like, I love dirty talk and I love sex parties and I love, you know, all this, but there's sometimes when you're just with someone and you're just with them and you don't have to talk. And literally those times, the two I'm thinking of, are just times when like I felt out of body. Like the sensations in my body made me feel elsewhere. I was like, I was losing it. Like I just was, it was an experience that it's hard to almost put in words. And to you know, in a way, thinking that I can only get that with partners was a bad thing for me, because then I felt like when I wasn't partnered or when I was single, I couldn't have that in my life. And so it's important for me to remember that, like, oh, I can be single and have, you know, one of the people, the top I was fucking with them became a fuck buddy because we weren't compatible for dating, but we liked hanging out together and we were incredibly sexually compatible. So like that can be a nice little nugget of joy in your life that you have someone who you get along with on that level.
Absolutely. And sometimes I feel like I have had like less than stellar sex that was so good because I was so excited to be with that person.
That's true.
Yeah. And it wasn't like this. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't mind blowing. We didn't even finish. And it was, but I was just so, I had a crush on this person for a year and it was like this mutual admission of feelings. And then I was just so happy. And, but the thing is we did make out for a long time and that was fucking good too.
That's
can
favorite.
You have good sex with someone who can't make out?
No.
First of all, no, that is, that. So one of the parts of that question for me is like, what helps you determine whether the sex is good for you or not good? And like, what do you need? And absolutely, one of the things that I need is we have to be great kissing partners. Like, we have to be able to kiss and have that be, we have to, I don't like to say that anyone is flat out a good or a bad kisser. I just like to say that we're either compatible with how we kiss or we aren't. I did have one kisser once that I hooked up with on a one time, and it was the worst. He would just put his head up because he was a little bit shorter than me and open his mouth and didn't move anything. And I was like, this is very strange. It was horrendous. And that was probably the worst sex of my life. And we didn't even have sex, but it should have been sex. And I stopped it eventually because I was like, this is terrible. I need to go home.
Was he like a baby bird waiting for you to like vomit into his mouth?
That's what it looked like.
Stop it.
And I was literally trying to kiss him. And I was like, I was like, I can't do anything because you're not doing anything. And like, if I do anything else, I'm just going to be licking your face. Like, this is crazy. Oh,
you know, y'all, I have a story that it's one of the hottest men I've ever fucked. And one of the worst sex experiences of my life. That's was this real. Guy from Grindr. You know, sometimes with a guy from Grindr, he looks too hot, like that person can't exist. And then he's like, yeah, I'll come over and have sex with you. And you're like, this has to be a catfish because this is not a thing that happens. And then he got to my apartment and he was even hotter than in his photos. So hot. And so we talk and it's, you know, normal conversation, kind of stilted because you're about to have sex. And we go into my bedroom and I start to kiss him to get like things. And he's like, oh, sorry, I don't kiss.
No.
And I literally said to him, well, I don't know what to do here. Like, I mean, how do we start getting to know each other's bodies without kissing? And so I just started like sucking his dick and we go on and like, I, you know, he was a top. And so he fucked me a little.
He
and
sounds like a top. Sometimes
yeah,
I like the flow of things where you can have sex a little bit and chat a little bit and have sex a little more. So we did that and we were starting to chat a little bit. Long story short, this person is such a clusterfuck that he thinks that abortion should be illegal because men don't have a say in what happens to their sperm. And I was, he said that. He also was like, women get more STIs than men because they're weaker bodied. And I was like, he tried to start having sex with me again. And I was like, get out of my house. And he left very expensive headphones in my house. Ooh. And I blocked him on Grindr and I blocked him on phone
and
I threw
headphones.
Out the headphones. Oh. I did what? Not.
Joe,
I'm not
going to
keep a sexist headphone.
Why'd you throw
They're
them
sexist
out?
Sexist headphones.
Joe, you
They're
have
sexist
the headphones.
Headphones
aren't sexist. The headphones can't help who bought them.
Nope.
I'm pissed because your headphones are so shitty and it makes the whole experience of recording this podcast a lot more difficult.
I have Skull
Candy headphones that are $19.99. That's what I have.
Fran, I bet that Ho actually threw the headphones out because they wouldn't even connect to his janky ass phone. That's the real story.
That's the real story. Yeah, you're trying to be all high and mighty about it. They were like an iPhone iPhone 4S. Damn.
Yeah.
But long story short, if a guy wants to hook up but won't kiss to start, it's a red flag that you should just not start.
It is,
you
know, absolutely a red flag. Every time someone has said that to me, it has ended badly. Very badly.
On the flip side, when something has been really good, I remember one time I was having sex with this dude on the couch at his place, and we were like, TV was on ambiently, because that was like the what do you call it, we were supposed to be watching TV. I can't even remember the word right now.
The premise.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So the premise was we were going to be watching TV together, and a pizza commercial came on. I had to go pee, so I was like, I'll be right back. And I came back, and he was ordering pizza. And I was like, this is going very well. Yes. This is the best.
Yes. Meanwhile, I would be pissed because, like, I'm like, how dare you? I have emptied out my entire body for this moment, and you dare bring pizza into my periphery. I will say, Joe, there's something in the air right now, because the last two people that I have had sex with suffered from this very thing, hot person syndrome, just hot mm-hmm. idiot syndrome. Unable to really be good at sex because they're like, they don't have a fully developed prefrontal. What I'm trying to say is, like, I feel like they're, it's very infuriating when they're so hot and you have all this buildup and then you realize that you are the shallow person and you're only there because they're hot and they have nothing to mm-hmm. offer. The last person I had sex with came and I had no idea because he was dead silent when he climaxed.
Ooh, no.
Can you imagine coming and being dead set? Like, not even like a porny grunt.
Ooh.
Not even like a tiny whimper.
We don't need the demonstration, how.
Ooh. That person will definitely is like a mass shooter.
They're a serial killer. That's
They will murder you in your sleep.
You can't let them sleep over.
No, mama, he was Brazilian. He's coming over again. Like, it's happening. I'm sorry, but if the sex was hot, disconcerting. It was disconcerting. Sure.
Just make sure you have a knife under your pillow. That's all.
Oh my God, no, Dennis, no.
Make sure you have a way to defend yourself.
I have a question. What is the role of sex for y'all, and not just in romantic relationships? Do you all have sex friendships? Can you have sex with friends and maintain it? Can you do it over time? Can you do it once and it be fine?
I do. I mean, I have. I don't actively have a sex friend. Although, like, I do have a friend who it's like, I know if we're in the same place in the same time and he doesn't have a significant other and I don't, we will do stuff. But it's like, it doesn't impede our friendship. And in fact, like, and I find it hot when he talks about hooking up with other people. Like, it turns me on, because I imagining him fucking and kissing anyone turns me on because I'm very turned on by him. And he is a friend, but there's like things that I know at this point in time and at the age that I am, that there are things that I don't want that I'm not willing to concede or consider that person does. And so that makes us incompatible as romantic partners, but we are physically very compatible. And I've learned how to deal with that and how to metabolize that without having the expectation of, I mean, that's what it's about, right? It's about adjusting your expectations to understand the situation that you're really in. We are people, we are friends. I'm very good friends with his brother. He's very good friends with people I know. Like, it's interwoven and it's considerate. And it is ethical, but it's also like, I'm not shooting for the moon. I'm not going above, I'm not living outside of my means. I know exactly what the situation is and I like it.
I will say, you know, I really love this question. And I think it's important to kind of differentiate that, or at least there appears to be a differentiation between a sex friend and a fuck buddy. You know what I mean? I think a lot of like fuck buddy relationships are people that you don't actually have a relationship with, like they're just straight sex. Where like what you're asking about, Joe, is someone specific who you are specifically in relationship with. And I'm personally of the mind that it is actually extremely difficult to do successfully.
It is.
I think that it is so hard to have that much grace for each other to the point where your expectations are not, you know, you don't fall below each other's expectations. You don't end up hating each other because you have so much love for each mm-hmm. other, because the more you love mm-hmm. someone, the more you're able to hurt them. You know, there's, and then, you know, the autonomy you have over each other's time and interdependency is needed. It's really hard to do that. But
it has, and like, and I haven't my friendship with this person, it's been rocky. It has been a difficult thing to negotiate at times. Yeah. It has been a difficult, like, there. I did have to have a moment where I was like, I didn't talk to him for 6 months, you know, that there was conflict, but that there is, and but then with enough transparency and with enough dialogue and with enough honesty, I feel like, you know, you can set the terms for your agreement as long as you both believe what you say and what the other person says.
That's so true, Tease. I have slept with a certain number of my friends. And it's definitely not this like straight notion that if you sleep with a friend once, your friendship is ruined for forever. For me, it's kind of the opposite, actually. One of the things that I think has meant that I've slept with a lot of friends without blowing up a single relationship is what I like in my friendships is honesty and communication. And what that means is that when you see, you know, there have been times in the times where I'm sleeping with these friends that one of us will have expectations that we kind of both know that the other isn't going to be able to match. And at that point, we stop sleeping with each other, right? And we recalibrate and we conversate about like what it is we want and what we can and can't give each other. I mean, there are definitely people, you know, where the sexual aspect of our relationship is an important part of our friendship and we're flirty with one another. And even when, you know, one of us is partnered in a way where, or there's a pandemic and we're not hooking up, you know, we sext and send pictures and send videos and express desire in a way that is lovely for our friendship and not at all a problem for, you know, my relationship, because it's like, no one expects that the other person only ever desires them.
I just want to tie two things together that Tommy and Joe are saying, in that like communication just makes good sex, period. And I think that like as queer people, as anybody who's in a relationship, period, like we have to dissolve this myth of like sexual chemistry, and like, which is a thing, sure, but like the whole notion that like sex should come naturally to people and that you either have good sex or bad sex with someone, period, and it has nothing to do with the way you communicate with each other, is like such a lie, kind of like pushed by, you know, contemporary people that, you know, I don't know, spew myths about relationships and like what we see in movies and TV shows and all the different stuff. But like, I think that a lot of, especially, you know, when you're a kid and you're learning about sex, there's this weird like lexicon around sex that it's all natural, which is a very heterosexualized idea of like sex in general, because like, sure, maybe like heterosexual sex, and I should not say heterosexual sex, I should say putting a penis in a vagina is maybe something that is a little more natural to do, but like anal sex is not natural, mama. Like, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but like there's a lot of preparation that goes into doing that that is requires your intentionality and your communication. And I think the same is true for sex between people who have vaginas and all that stuff. Like, we have to maneuver around contemporary notions of like heterosexual sex, cis heterosexual sex, in order to, like, I don't know, do what we do. So weird.
I have a question that has been on my mind endlessly. I have been the last 12 months. So I self-identify as a hoe. Joe O the Science Hoe. On the group chat, they call me Ho Osmondson. I love sex. And it's a big part of my identity that, you know, and it took a long time to get me here, because I grew up in a Catholic family and have a lot of the issues around pleasure that y'all are talking about. But I haven't been having that much sex in the last 12 months, even though I'm partnered. My partner has had a really, really hard year. I've been teaching full time and doing COVID activism, science advocacy, basically full time. And it has been sad, and I've been full of grief. And I haven't been having much sex. And it's been a huge identity crisis for me, because I'm like, if I'm not having sex, am I still a hoe?
A lot of
us are dealing with that in the last 12 months, because, you know, for even for the folks who are single, you have really have to worry about risk mitigation, who you let in your home. So how are you all dealing with you know, owning the whole label and feeling sexy and sexual in this time when it's it's tough. There's grief, there's risk. What are y'all doing?
Yeah, I talk about it a lot because I do like events and stuff like that. And I'm always like, in my little introduction, and these are literary events. And so people, in order to get people a little bit more loosened up, I like to start off with, you know, the gutter sluttery of it all. And I'm just like, what I want everyone to do right now is take a moment of silence for the sluts. It's hard out here for us. Yes. It is. You need to understand that we are, our community, the slut community is suffering at this moment.
Yes.
But really it is like, you know, like to be or not to be. It's very existential. It's very Shakespearean, this question of can you still be a slut if you're not getting it in? My answer is yes, because I still got this mouth on me.
Tommy, has there been a marble in that mouth this entire record?
I think the last time there was a marble in this mouth was February.
Wow.
I love this question, Joe, and forgive me, a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about are things that I talk about on my newsletter, which you can subscribe to at friendsquishco.substack.com. But I do feel like mindful masturbation has like been so essential to like feeling sexy at home in general. Shaving my pubes for no reason, just so that I can feel nice and have my pubes shaved, wearing lingerie around the house. I bought a beautiful leather harness from Bayet Leather. We'll put it in the show notes. We don't actually do show notes, but maybe we'll put it in a newsletter one day. But, you know, buying a new toy, finding an old toy that you never used that you were too scared of, and go and use the toy. You know what I mean? Little things like that have gone a lot. And taking nudes for fun, which I never do. All of those things have actually gone such a long way in just like being more mindful about how you feel sexy at home, especially if you're
so
you live alone.
You're more of a slut now that you're not having sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I love that, Fran, and I echo a lot of that because that's part of how I've been dealing with it too. Like, I never used to take nudes and I've been taking nudes. I actually had an artist, I'm going to put them on Instagram. I haven't yet, but on January 2nd, I had an artist draw some tasteful, almost nude photos, portraits of me over Instagram that I love. So just like things like celebrating my body and my sensuality, since I have to celebrate it because no one else really can right now. But the other thing I'll say is, like, you know, if you've listened to the first episode of Food for Thought ever, then you'll know that I maintained my virginity as it pertains to anal sex until I was 27. So I do have a really strong capacity to sort of withhold, to wait, to be patient, with the idea that when you finally do get that pleasure, it's going to be really fantastic. And so I've been sort of like having fun with the people that I am involved with, was involved with before this, will be involved with after this, and the people that I've met, sort of with this idea of like, the longer we wait as we hold it off, the more sweet it's going to be when it finally happens. And that's just been kind of fun. And it's been a way for me to kind of tamp down some of my sexual energy but still keep it alive and exciting, but just feel excited about what's to come rather than dwelling on what isn't happening right now.
Y'all, I've been jerking off so much. My clitoris is a stump.
Joe, we're out of here. We gotta go. Wow. Bye.
Wow.
I'm feeling kind of full, but like I could fit one more thing inside of me. Dennis knows how I feel.
Ow.
So that's putting right. The cherry on top of our sundae this week is Fran.
Yes, and let me tell y'all, I am so sorry. This is repeat information. Some people believe in God. We here on this podcast believe in Chani Nicholas. And let me tell you, this woman and her wife, Sonia Passi, have created the be-all, end-all of astrology apps. It's called Chani, go figure. It is so, so phenomenal. Sorry to say it. Fuck CoStar. Fuck The Pattern. Fuck all of these other apps that have tried to crack what it is an astrology app should be. The Chani app is it, mama. I mean, all y'all have been using it. I'm curious to know how you've been feeling. I, unfortunately, as a friend of Chani, I went through all, like, the different rounds of revision and provided feedback on like wireframes and all the different stuff. So the app has really, really great meditations on it. And Chani has the most beautiful speaking voice of all time. All y'all who listen to the podcast know, because she was an incredible guest on our podcast, but her speaking voice narrates a lot of different elements of this app that are really beautiful and healing and wonderful and fantastic. There are journal prompts. There are daily and weekly, there are weekly horoscopes. There are prompts to help you build an altar at home. There's a weekly forecast that helps you understand the week's astrology and what days are good for some stuff and bad for other things. It is just such an intuitive and beautiful app. And what I really love about this is that Sonia and her wife, who literally work together to launch a extremely popular app, which is a dream partnership, wife goals for sure. They are so intentional about that. They want this thing to be about healing and nothing else. And so they refuse to sell any data or anything in order to create this app. They are working exclusively with queer people, women, people of color to develop the app, to bring it home, to make sure that it's done as ethically as possible and that astrologers are paid in the process of doing it. Both of them have such a fantastic love for the art of astrology and what it means and a respect for it. And it really shows up in how the prose in the app, comes to your feed. So it's so good. I love it.
I literally just downloaded it right now while you were talking because I loved her so much when she visited and I was so excited about this and then forgot because I'm me. But here we are.
Of course. And I will say, so I think that there's a free trial that you can do. But also, I just want to say, if the price of the app is a barrier to entry for you, I want to just reiterate that, that money does not go to, big tech. It doesn't go to selling your data. It doesn't go to some, bizarre overhead. It goes, straight to the creators and all, the astrologers and the women and the queer people that make the app thrive. And so, if you are someone who has that expendable income, it's well spent at that company. So, yeah, I cannot recommend it enough. It's, truly changed the game for me. Well, this concludes our bridge season. I can't wait until we are actually in a studio together.
Studio.
Yes. Yeah. See you in the summer, Thoughtlings.
Yes.
This episode of Food for Thought is made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé. Mm. Our producer is the Nicolas Cage to our Diane Kruger, Alexandra De Palma.
Oh, no. That bums me out.
Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, or you know what? We're going to take all of Joe's mesh shirts and all of Joe's sports bras, and we're going to incinerate them.
No, please. Yes. It's been such a hard year.
Yes.
I am Tommy Teebs Pico. You can find me at Hey Teebs, HEYTEEBS on Instagram. I no longer have a Twitter. It is the best decision I ever made.
I'm Fran. I will be personally incinerating Joseph's mesh tank top collection. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram at Fran Squishco, and also subscribe to my newsletter on Substack. Have you ever heard of it? FranSquishco.substack.com. Subscribe. Love y'all.
I know that Fran would only incinerate my mesh tank top collection out of jealousy. I am right. Joseph Osmondson. You can find me at www.josephosmondson.com. Still the best tank top collection on this podcast.
Bitch, I am wearing one of yours. So.
I know. My tank top collection is so good, Tommy steals them.
That was one.
I gotta give it up. It was a good one. It has a hood. It's a tank top with a hood, I have to say.
I will never.
I did steal it.
You did.
I did steal it while you were medically indisposed.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
My butt exploded and Tommy stole my tank top.
Yes. And I'm Dennis Norris II, and you can find me on Twitter at the Earl Denden, TheEarlDenden.
And finally, send your questions, thoughts, concerns, and dick pics.
Dick pics?
To thoughts at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number 4, and thought spelled how?
T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T-H-O-T
ship was already going down. That ship was already going down.
That was put another hole started. In it. Okay. That would just start it down.
Hey, Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.